Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to, first of all, to the 12th chapter of Matthew. And last week, I deviated from studying here, took you over to the book of Romans, and we're going to complete that study and come back. But I just wanted to pick up a little context in Matthew. And we've actually studied up to about verse 15. But let's start at verse 1. So it says, at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn. Now, we're not talking about corn like we have here in the Willamette Valley. We're talking about wheat, okay? This Matthew 12, 1. And as they plucked the ears, they began to eat. And it says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating on the Sabbath. But they were counting just, if you walk through a wheat field and you, when it's ripe, you can grab bring a head of wheat into your hand and drag it up and then blow the chaff away, rub your hands together, blow the chaff away, and throw the grains of wheat into your mouth. The English translators translated it corn, but we're really talking about wheat. And except a grain of wheat, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came in the fullness of a time to provide salvation for us. Now, why salvation? Well, in the first place, when God created Adam, he created him in his likeness. He was without sin. He's perfect in all of his ways. And then after creating all the other animals, he looked at man and he said, well, man doesn't have a mate. And so God performed the first surgery, took a rib from Adam's side, and created Eve. And we don't know how long they lived in the garden before the devil, in the form of a serpent, tempted her. Now, what we see in serpents today is a serpent after his curse. But when we read about Lucifer, he was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. And of course, in the markings on serpents, most people are repelled by serpents. But they are, many of them, quite beautiful. Okay? So that curse was placed upon Lucifer. Lucifer was an archangel. The scripture says of him that he was lifted up in pride because of his great beauty. And so when we read about the creation of the universe in the first couple of verses of Genesis, then we see that the earth, because Lucifer, according to the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, had something to do with the earth. The scripture says of him that he was the anointed cherub that covereth. And then we find out that his covering was jewels, all diamonds, rubies, every sort of precious stone that you can think of was the covering of Lucifer. Now, if you can imagine, in that original creation, Adam lived for a long time, 930 years. And but prior to the fall, and then the recreation of the earth, then in the original creation, we don't know what was there. But we know that Lucifer was called the anointed cherub that covereth. We have to say, covereth what? Well, when he was lifted up in pride and said, I'm God, God judged the earth. And all of the jewels that were once Lucifer's covering are now buried in the earth. So I can't prove this, but I imagine because of his great beauty that Lucifer was like a cloud of jewels that moved at the same rate that the earth in its orbit and rotation before the sun. One revolution in 24 hours, and then one revolution around the sun in a lunar, or not a lunar, but a solar year, 365 days and few hours. Okay. So if, and we know that the radiation from the sun kills us, it's not good for us. But imagine a huge cloud of jewels between the earth and the sun, so that what you could see on the earth was just the reflection and refraction of the light from all of those jewels of many different, like diamonds are clear, but then they would, with the light reflecting through those, they would produce, rainbow images. It would be gorgeous. So lifted up in pride. And then, of course, when he came to Eve, he said, God, Elohim, doth know that in the day that you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God didn't put that tree in the garden. God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Everyone assumes, why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? God didn't. An enemy had done this, just like with a parable of the tares and the wheat. The Lord sowed good seed in his field, and then what? While men slept, that basically speaks of the nation of Israel when they were the custodian of the truth, or in this age, the church as the custodian of the truth. So while men slept, then what happened? The enemy comes and sows tares in the field. Now, what are tares? We to use the correct name, it's bastard or counterfeit wheat. Okay? So, what is salvation? Salvation is by the Word of God, the seed. The seed is sown. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saved. Okay, now if the devil has counterfeit wheat and he sows it in the same field with the truth, what do we find under the canopy of Christianity? Virtually, well, it doesn't just include Christianity. Every religious system in the world is based upon what man can do for God. And there's nothing that man can do for God to make himself accepted of God. It's God that did for man. And God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And he came to this earth through a virgin birth so that he could be both man and God. But man without a sin nature. He was a Jew. He's the only Jew that ever kept the law. Scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified in God's sight. So when we begin to put these things together, we see a portrayal of the fall of the of mankind in the corruption of that original creation because of Lucifer, who was lifted up in pride. Now, what is it at the basis of every religious system in the world and too much of what's called Christianity, that I can be like God by what I do, that I can please God. And that's a lie, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, our King James Bible was translated by Anglicans, which in this country are known as Episcopalians. And Henry VIII wanted to marry Anne Boleyn, and the Pope told him he couldn't. Prior to that, Henry VIII was known in Roman Catholic circles as the defender of the faith. Yeah. Been given that title and award by the Pope. But then when he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn, and the Pope said he couldn't do it because that would be committed adultery, then Henry VIII, Church of England, he told the Pope that he could go to hell, and he had started his own religion because he figured the king ought to be the head of the religious system and not the Pope. Okay. So that's the primary difference between the Church of England, or we know them as Episcopalians, and the Church at Rome, and so forth. Okay, so what started the whole problem? The whole problem began with a tree. Now Jesus is called the Tree of Life, but the devil has a tree that he promises life and promises, if you eat of this tree in disobedience to God, God knows that that will make you like God. Now turn with me to the book of Romans and the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5. Do you know the difference between in language, like for example in Spanish, if you want to say the head, you say la cabeza, okay? Or the cup, or the camera, the microphone. That's a specific microphone. I'm not pointing at this one, I'm pointing at that one. And that's a specific camera. I'm not pointing at that one, I'm pointing at this one. Okay? So, we use the definite article to designate specificity, or a specific thing. And in this book of Romans, and I started here last time in the 12th verse, and we read all the way up to the 6th chapter. But I want to go back to the 12th verse for just a moment, and where it says, wherefore by one man. Now, this is not sin in general, as it's translated. It's sin in the specific, because in the Greek, in our New Testament, was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic. And so Koine Greek was the language of the New Testament. And in the Greek New Testament, before sin in this 12th verse, we have a definite article before sin twice. And I'm going to read that, and then we'll go on to the 6th chapter. It says, wherefore, as by one man, the sin entered into the world. That one man was Adam. Eve was deceived, but Eve is not the federal head of the human family. Eve came from Adam's side. Remember, God took a rib and created Eve and made Adam a wife. So Eve is from Adam, and now through the process of birth, we're all from Adam, and we all have Adam's blood flowing in our veins, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. But when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was told, the day you eat thereof, ye shall, what?
Surely
die. Now, he didn't die that day physically. He lived 930 years. But he died that day spiritually. And because he died spiritually, until the truth of the gospel was portrayed in the sacrifice of the animal that God used to clothe them with skin, that animal represented Jesus Christ, and the skin represented Christ's perfect righteousness, so that they could, they made garments for themselves out of fig leaves, a tenuous covering at best, man's effort to cover his nakedness. Now, there wasn't anything wrong with nakedness until we gained what? A sin nature. And with a sin nature, yeah, there's all kinds of problems with nakedness. Okay, so wherefore, as by one man, Adam, the sin of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil entered into the world. What is a knowledge of good and evil? That's the definition of morality. And all the religious systems of the world, both inside the canopy of Christianity and outside of the canopy of Christianity, are based upon man's morality. You know, if I'm a good boy, I won't get drunk. If I'm a good boy, I won't lie. If I'm a good boy, whatever it happens to be. And all of the religious systems of the world have a different standard. You know. And under the canopy of Christianity, because God gave the nation of Israel the law, they use the law for the standard. But the scripture tells us very clearly, therefore by what? The deeds of the law, no flesh will be what? Justified where? In God's sight. Yeah. So lots of people are justified in their own eyes. Most people in the world don't think they need a Savior. But we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. And the scripture says we manifest that from our mother's womb. Because children or babies are what? Liars from their mother's womb. You know, anybody that's been around a baby knows that. They can be warm, they can be dry, they can be fed. It's time for them to go to sleep. They've been up for a long time, it's time for them to go to sleep. But they don't want to go to sleep, they want mom to hold them. So when mom lays them down, I've got something wrong with me. Don't you dare lay me down. You know, mom checks for pins. Well, we don't do pins anymore. We do tape. You know. With my children, I've told this story before, Joanne had to wash diapers every day. You know, we were in the Air Force and poor as church mice. And so when our children were born, cloth diapers. We had enough for about a day and a half. So you could, they were pretty expensive, a lot less expensive than these plastic ones that they throw away. And have you ever noticed today, you know, my two children are 15 months apart, or I have three, but the older two, Debbie was born first, 15 months later, Aaron was born. By the time that Aaron was born, Debbie was out of diapers. Because washing diapers every day was a problem, especially in Spokane, Washington. So we'd hang them outside till they froze, so they wouldn't drip all over the yard behind the wood stove in the little barracks that was made into an apartment that we lived in. You know, and with a wood stove. And you heated your water, summer or winter. You had to put a fire in the stove if you wanted hot water. So if you wanted a warm shower, you had to build a fire in the stove. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of work involved in that. Now, why do we have to work? Because man sinned against God. You know, why do we need a Savior? Because Adam sinned against God. You know, why do we die? Because Adam sinned against God. So, don't get down on Adam, because if it had been you, you would have done it instead of Adam. Okay? And so, in Adam, all do what? All die. So, when we come to the sixth chapter of Romans, and without, let me put it this way. In the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, beginning at verse 12, to the eighth chapter of Romans and verse down to verse 3. In the Greek New Testament, before the noun sin, we have the definite article, the, in English, you know, 30 times. Not one of those definite articles are translated. And why? Well, the Greeks use the definite article far more than we do in English. But what do we use the definite article for? You know, if I would say to you, did you watch the game yesterday? Since this is Eugene, Oregon, and we're talking about the University of Oregon, what does that thus specify? The deck game. You know, it's the specific game. There were all kinds of football games on yesterday. The whole Pac-12 played, you know, all across the nation, the various leagues played. But if I say, did you watch the game yesterday? And since we live in Eugene, Oregon, what does that the specify? The duck game, right? Okay. So if I use a definite article in front of sin, and sin is in the singular, it's just one sin, then what am I referring to? Let me read this to you. Okay, I'll go back to the sixth chapter. Well, towards the end of the fifth chapter, it says, verse 19, for as by one man, that's Adam, you know, one man's what? Disobedience. Now, didn't Eve sin first? Yeah, but she's not the federal head of the race. You know, what do we mean by federal head? One stands for all. No. The scripture doesn't say as an Eve all die. It says as an Adam all die. So in Christ, what? All are made alive. So for as by one man's disobedience, Adam's, many were made sinners. That is, we're all born dead in trespasses and sin. Okay? So by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The nation of Israel, there wasn't any law other than not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil for the better part of 2,500 years. At one point in time, a man killed a man, so then God instituted capital punishment. That was instituted before the Ten Commandments. Okay, so then basically, for the latter part of those 2,500 years, there just two commandments: not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and not to kill. Okay, and so really, it's thou shalt do no murder. You know, we're to kill all kinds of things, you know, for food and so on and so forth, but when we kill an animal, it has no soul. God provided us with animals so that we could have flesh to eat. See? So, you know, there's no crime there unless you're just wantonly killing and allowing it to waste. Okay. So now, it said in verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where not sin, the sin, Adam's sin, abounded. What was Adam's sin? The concept that we can be like God by knowing the difference between right and wrong. What's that? By definition, what is a knowledge of good and evil, or knowing the difference between right and wrong? By definition, it's man's morality. What is every religious system in the world based upon? Man's morality. You know, and the Lord's very clear, you know, therefore by the deeds of the law or by man's morality, no flesh will enter into God's presence. But man thinks according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was instituted into mankind by the serpent, who is the devil. And so every religious system, not just that which is connected, you know, with the Bible, the Jews, and then later the church, you know, every religious system except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity is based upon what man can do for God. Now, the Jews were given the law, but the law was to show them that they failed before God. It couldn't show them how to live because they all had a sin nature. And the scripture is very clear. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, what? No flesh will be justified or made right before God. So, all the religious systems of the world are operating on the basis of the devil's lie. What's the devil's lie? By knowing the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. What do you expect to find in a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What is the knowledge of good and evil? Nobody likes to say it, but a knowledge of good and evil is man's morality. Well, people say, well, isn't it better to do good than to do bad? Yes, you just can't get to heaven that way. Okay. That's the devil's lie. And so, man has ever since been trying to get back into the paradise of God by the means that got him tossed out of the paradise of God. But God, in his, you know, foreknowledge, knew that man would sin. He didn't make him sin, but he knew that he would. He knew Lucifer would introduce sin into the realm of man. And so, once Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he realized he was naked. Eve ate of it. She realized that she was naked. And they both felt shame because of that. And so what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. That's a tenuous covering at best. Yeah. Not going to last very long. You know, when you rake leaves in the fall, when they first fall, they're pliable. After a little while, you rake them and they break up in a whole bunch of little pieces. Once they dry out. So, man's efforts to cover his nakedness before God are what? Tenuous at best. It doesn't work. So, God determined, you know, before the foundation of the world, because the scripture says of Jesus Christ that he was crucified when? We can say, well, some 1900 yeah, or 2000 years ago. Okay? But no, the scripture says he was crucified before the foundation, before God created the universe. He knew that when he created the universe, when he created man, that the serpent would introduce sin into mankind, and that man who would be created in his image would fall from his image and have to be recreated. That's why we call salvation the new birth. Born again. Born where? From above. You know, it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. And unfortunately, you know, scholarship is a funny thing. You know, I studied Greek when I was in seminary, and I found, you know, after taking introductory class to Greek, I was never going to be a Greek scholar. You know, I'd have to spend my whole time just studying Greek rather than what I've called to do, preach the word, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So part of rightly dividing, we operate from an English Bible. You know, God didn't preserve his word in the King James Bible. That's a cult that's been started, been very popular for about 60 years or so. You know, no, the King James Bible is a translation. I can take you to 1 John 3 and then take you over to Titus 3 and show you a direct contradiction. You know, well, let's do it. Go back to 1 John 3:7. And this is, you know, this isn't the only place that we have contradictions, just simply because the translators didn't always know what they were translating. And in the book of Isaiah, we have many translators. So in one place, we have all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Well, a literal translation from the Hebrew is minstrel claws. And in other places in the book of Isaiah, they actually translate minstrel claws. But the fellow that translated that 53rd chapter, he was a little bit self-righteous and he didn't want to use that term. But that's a beautiful type. Think about it. As long as a woman's body is casting off blood under the law, she was counted unclean. And then, after so many days after this monthly cycle was over, then she would have to come to the priest and make a bloody sacrifice to be under the blood of Christ and to be counted clean again. Okay? So it's a beautiful type. Nation of Israel thought that they could be justified before God by the works of their own hands, and they just, you know, cast off the necessity. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. So when the human family says, no, I can be accepted of God on the basis of the life that I live, what are they doing? Casting off the blood. So before God, what are they? Unclean. And how do they become clean? Recognize that Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for their salvation. So people get nervous about that. I was told when I was in Bible college, I was teaching and dealt with that truth. And I was told by one of the deacons of a great big church, there's just some things in the Bible you don't teach. Oh, really? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all scripture is profitable for various things. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Okay. And the instruction in righteousness says, when you think that you're good enough to go to heaven without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you're like a woman that's on her period and counted unclean. Okay. But in order to be clean before God, you have to do what? Go to the blood of Christ that's represented in the animal sacrifice. Beautiful type. And it's lost to self-righteous people because they think talking about something like that is nasty. It's not nasty. You know, it's, if a woman didn't have that monthly cycle, we'd cease to exist. Because that puts an egg in her womb that can be fertilized and produce children. And so we're to multiply and spread abroad upon the face of the earth and replenish the earth. You know, beautiful types. But when people, you know, have a sin nature, they find fault with all kinds of things that there's no fault in. And then no fault in the day in which we live in all kinds of perverse things. It's sad. Okay. In 1 John chapter 3, I wanted to show you this. Let's go to verse, the 10th verse, okay? I'll read the whole verse. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth, that's the Greek word poieo, it means to make something your own, okay? So if I make Christ's righteousness, my righteousness by faith, Spirit of God does it, but I enter into it. Yeah. So he that maketh not Christ's righteousness, his righteousness is not of God. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. But is it true that you're righteous before God by the life that you live? No, that's a lie. Let's go to Titus 3:5. direct contradictions here. Now, in 1 John 3, it says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Okay. But then in Titus 3, 5, it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's a direct contradiction. Because they, didn't translate it properly. So, it takes us, as a pastor, I'm required to study to show myself, what, approved unto you? No, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now, you don't have to be a Greek scholar in order to be able to find these things, but you have to know, have some good books. And what's really interesting, I checked this out one time. Every interlinear New Testament, what is that? That's a Greek New Testament with the English translation under the Greek words. Okay. Every interlinear Greek New Testament from fundamental sources doesn't translate the definite article most of the time. Sin in the singular, the sin. Okay? But guess who does? The Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses, a cult, they're in their linear New Testament. They translate every word. They're trying to show how scholarly they are. They still don't get it right, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But at least they translate it. But these fundamental scholars, say, well, we don't need it. But when you're trying to be specific, yes, we do need it. So now let's go back to the sixth chapter of Romans and pick up some more specificity. Okay? So, beginning at verse 20 of the fifth chapter, or verse 19, for as by one man disobedience, that's Adam's sin, were many made sinners, that is, we all are counted to have sinned with Adam. So by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, many shall be made righteous. No. Okay, so by God's grace through faith, through the preaching of the word of God, Christ's righteousness is counted to be our righteousness. By birth, Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden is counted to be our sin, as if we were there and did it ourselves. Okay, so, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So God gave the nation of Israel the law to show them that they were sinners because they thought they were righteous. Okay. So he gave them the law, and they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But they never did, because they couldn't, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But where these sin, Adam's sin, how does it abound? Well, every moral system that we have is based upon the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Man's morality, a knowledge of what? Good and evil. What is a definition of morality? Knowing the difference between right and wrong. But it's not an absolute knowledge of right and an absolute knowledge of wrong. It's judged by humans, what people think. So, I checked it out online. There's only 4,000 moral systems in the world. And they all came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. 4,000 ways that we can be good. Some of the ways are the same, but there are 4,000 different systems. But what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We don't come unto God by being good. Why? Because there's not a just or good man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We can't come that way. The law condemns us. The law told the Jews, when you fail, you have to make an animal sacrifice. Well, the scripture tells us animal sacrifices could never take away sin, but they represented the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who's called the Lamb of God. John the Baptist referred to Jesus as, "Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? That taketh away not sin, not the sins of the world, the singular sin of the world. Because everything that's false came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, taketh away the sin of the world." Yeah. That we're all accounted to have died in Adam. Okay? "That as the sin hath reigned unto spiritual death, the death, even so might the grace of God reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin or in our concepts of morality that the grace of God might abound? Because we can't even keep our own concepts of morality. Okay? God forbid, how shall we that, it says, are dead, it's actually, is in the past tense, it's a punctiliar act in times past. So, how shall we that died to the sin? When did we die to the sin? Well, we committed the sin in Adam, and when God counted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to each of us at the moment of salvation, we died to what? The sin. We died to the concept that we please God by the lives that we live. There's only one way to please God. The just shall live how? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? To please God. And the law is not of faith. Gets pretty plain, doesn't it? Okay. Know ye not that so many of us as we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into the definite articles before death, a proper way of translating it, into the death of Him. Therefore, we not are buried. Anglicans believed in progressive sanctification. Every day and every way, you get better. But this isn't talking about what goes on daily. This is talking about when Christ died, you died. It's just the same as when Adam sinned, you sinned. So we're talking about the one sin that produces all sin, Adam's, you know, which was the devil's lie, and the one sacrifice that paid for it all, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Therefore, we not are, but were. They believe in progressive sanctification, so they put it in the present tense. But it took place in the past, and the verb is in the past. Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism. That's not water baptism. The Spirit of God counted you to have died with Christ the moment you were saved. He counted you to have been buried with Christ the moment you were saved. And He counted you to have been raised from the dead with Christ the moment He gave you the faith to believe. And then it's all counted at the point of time. In Adam we die, and in Christ we're made alive. So, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, from the time you were a little bit taught, you know, you learned to talk, and all of a sudden one day you said, "The blankety blank cat ran under the bed." And your mother wanted to know, "Where did you learn that language?" "Well, I've been living with you, Mom and Dad." We all have a sin nature. Don't worry about the kids down the street teaching your kids naughty things. Your kids are teaching them just as many naughty things that they haven't learned yet. Okay? Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death. That's the death of Christ. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted and together in the likeness of his death, and so we're counted at the moment of our salvation to have died with Christ, been buried with Christ, and to have been made, raised with Christ, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He was 3 days and three nights in the grave. Yeah. When we die, the body goes into the grave. But Paul tells us what actually happens when he was in Lystra on his first missionary journey. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body. I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to the third heaven and saw things that are not lawful to be uttered. So when Paul was, stoned to death, he at Lystra on his first missionary journey, God took his body immediately into heaven, and he couldn't tell whether, not his body, but his soul. He took his soul into heaven, and he couldn't tell whether he was in his body or out of his body. Well, his body was in the dump, but he was in a body in heaven. That's why the scripture says to be absent from this body that we live in, this one's old and worn out, is to be present with the Lord and to be depart and be with Christ is far better. So we have an interim body that we dwell in until the day of the resurrection. And at the day of the resurrection, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They have to come up where we are. Then those of us who happen to be alive at that time will be caught up together with them to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we, what? Ever be with the Lord. Why? Because Christ died for our sins. Because the Spirit of God quickened that truth to our hearts when it was preached. And the Spirit of God gave us the faith to believe it. We're not going to be there because of anything that we've done. I've been preaching for 67 years. Yeah. And because I began preaching even while I was going to Bible college, seminary. I kind of like to refer to it as cemetery. Because, believe me, there's more death taught in these Bible colleges than life. They're all trying to make future pastors' wives and future pastors to be little moral examples. Well, many of them end up being just exactly that, but they don't know a thing about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why, like the Jews, they were trying to establish their own righteousness. And all that that can result in is death, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it is according to his mercy that he saved us. Now, if we be dead with Christ, and I'm going to stop with this, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto the sin, Adam's sin, which produces all sin. He died unto the sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. So, what are we to do? Verse 11, and we'll stop there. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto what? The sin. Be dead indeed unto trying to make yourself like God by your morality. That's the devil's lie. Die to that and recognize that the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed or charged to your account when God gave you the faith to believe on him. So you never stand before God in anything in your own righteousness. And the only things that can be remembered, the scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. But the just are lived by faith, and the law is not of faith. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful goodness and grace to us. And we pray that you'll bless the truth to our hearts. And we know that, there are consequences for improper behavior, and we're never going to have totally proper behavior. Our relationship with thee is predicated upon the person and work of Christ. And so the way to please you in all things is to believe you. And so we commit ourselves to trusting in the Lord with all of our heart and not leaning to our own understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.